Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
Amen, amen, amen. If you have your Bibles, I want to read one scripture out of the book of Psalms, and then I want to spend the rest of my time in the book of Genesis. We're going to talk about the life of Joseph. There's probably not a single story, single character, set of scriptures that speaks to me more than the story and the life of Joseph. So as you're turning to Psalms, let me read a quick story to you that I came across recently. A husband was having health problems, and his wife begged him to go see the doctor, but he was stubborn. How many stubborn men do we have? Some of you fellas didn't raise your hand, but your wife is pointing right at you. Don't like doctors. He didn't want to go to the doctor. His wife begged him to go. And he said, "Oh, I don't have any use for a doctor. I'm not paying money for some college kid to tell me what's wrong with me." Well, finally, after much persuasion, how many know the ladies can persuade you? They have a way, fellas, making you more willing. Finally, after much persuasion, the man agreed, "Okay, I'll go. I'll go see the doctor. Let's get this over with." So they go to the doctor's office. They went in, sat in the office, and was examined by the doctor, and then he left. Didn't wait for the evaluation, walked right outside the door and went to the car. He said, "Listen, I did my part. Now you go in and you find out what's wrong." So the wife went in for the results. The doctor said, "I have good news and I have bad news." How many of you, when you get that choice, you want to hear the bad news first? How many say, "No, go ahead and just give me the good news right out the gate"? The doctor said, "I've got good news and I've got bad news. What do you want to hear first?" She says, "Well, give me the bad news." The doctor said, "In 2 weeks, your husband may die. But now here's the good news. You can keep him alive if you make breakfast for him every morning. Scrambled eggs, biscuits and gravy, hash browns and coffee, just like he likes. He needs to stay away from exercise, so you'll need to up the chores that you do around the house. Cut the grass. Take care of any home repairs. Fix the car if need be. You know what? Your husband's really going to need massive rest. So make sure that he watches plenty of sporting events on TV and that the remote control is always close by his side. And finally, before he goes to bed, give him a foot massage every night so it will relieve stress and help him rest. If you do all of this, he's going to live." The wife goes back out to the car and the husband says, "Well, what'd the doctor say?" She said, "Doctor says you're going to die in 2 weeks." Come on, and all the married folks said amen. Good news, bad news. Good news, bad news. Joseph, watch this. Joseph is the ultimate good news, bad news story. I don't know. How many of you have heard the story of the life of Joseph before? Most of you have. Some of you, you're going to learn something brand new today. Joseph was his daddy's favorite. That's pretty good. His brothers hated his guts. That's pretty bad. His dad gave him a beautiful hand-tailored coat made from Nordstrom's. That was very good. But his brothers got their clothes off the sales rack at Kmart. That's bad. So they sell him into slavery. That's even worse. Joe is strikingly handsome. Kind of like Tom Cruise, only taller and better looking. That's very good. Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him. That's very bad. Joseph resists. That's really good. But Miss Potty is furious. So she lies about Joseph and has him thrown into prison. That's very bad. But while in prison, Joseph meets Pharaoh's butler, and he interprets a dream for this guy, and the butler gets promoted. That's very good. But the butler forgets about old Joe, and he's left to rot in prison. That's very, very bad. Let me ask you this. How does it end? If it ends bad, then all the good is just a cruel reality that raises false hope. But if it ends good, then the whole story is redeemed. I talked to someone not long ago that said this. She said, "Mike, someone stole the happy ending from my life, and I want it back." I don't know where you find yourself this morning. Maybe you're here and you're in a good place. Maybe things are going well for you. You're in a chapter, you're in a season where things are working out and there's a lot to celebrate. But maybe you're here today and the season that you're in, the chapter that's being written, you feel like, man, I'm in a tough spot. I'm in a bad place. Things are dark in my life. I want you to know this. Wherever you find yourself, maybe you find yourself in a bad situation, please be encouraged this morning and know this, that your story is still being written. Whatever chapter you find yourself, know this, that God is writing the story and it's not over yet. When I read this book, I see a lot of ups and downs. Some of you, that's your life. There are high moments and there are low moments. But if you read the end of the story, how many of you know that it ends good? Come on, I pray that God would place hope in your heart today through the story of this young man named Joseph. Now, there are more chapters in the book of Genesis that are dedicated to the story of Joseph than any other Old Testament character. Think about it. There was more written about Joseph than Adam, more than Noah, more than Abraham, Isaac, or even Jacob. I mean, you read it in Genesis 37 to 50. His story, it stretches over 13 chapters, and it's packed full of so many highs and lows. In fact, the name Joseph literally means Yahweh has added unto me. I love that. Yahweh has added. God himself has added something to me. I find that interesting because when you read about his life, it seems like one subtraction after another. Come on, does anybody know what I'm talking about? Maybe you come to church and you feel, God, I need you to add to me. But when you look at the reality of your experience, it's one subtraction after another. Joseph seems to be doing all the right things, but he ends up in all the wrong places. Let me ask you this question. How do you keep your heart soft when your circumstances are so tough? Does anybody know that challenge? Have I described tension, the tension that some of you have begun to realize? Life can be tough. You go through a hard circumstances, and sometimes you find yourself getting hardened on the inside. Can I have a good amen? How do you keep your heart soft and tender before the Lord when you're walking through a difficult experience? I believe the story of Joseph will show us exactly how that's done. Bible says when Joseph was 17 years old, how many teenagers do we have? Let me see, 17 years old. Old to be a teenager again. Come on, keep your hands up, teenagers. Look around, church. This is the smartest group of people in the room. Remember when you were a teenager and you knew everything? Come on, moms and dads, remember that? We were smart at 17, weren't we? It's amazing how at 24 and 34 and 44, we're not as smart, are we? 17 years old, and the Bible says that God gave Joseph a dream. Anybody ever have a dream? And maybe it was a crazy dream. And I'm not talking about because of the pizza that you ate the night before. Do you have a God-given dream? 17 years old, God shows Joseph something about his life. Let me tell you this. The man without a dream is always at the mercy of a man with a dream. Some of you need to get a dream, a vision for your life. Some of you need to get a dream downloaded from heaven. God, what could my life be? Joseph has this dream, and it's kind of strange. He has a dream that there's a bundle of grain, okay? There's a sheaf of grain, and in fact, his sheaf of grain, his bundle of grain is exalted high, and then there are 11 other bundles of grain, and all of those bundles are bowing low. Joseph was one of many brothers. He had 11 other brothers, and in his dream, his bundle of grain was rising up higher, and his brothers were bowing before him. And so Joseph's interpreter, hey, he's telling his brothers, hey, listen, guys, I had a dream last night. You want to know what it was? It was all these bundles of grain. My bundle was higher than yours. This means that one day I will rule over all of you. I will command. You will submit. You will bow down in humble expression of your obedience to my authority. Aren't you happy for me? In fact, brothers, gather around. Let's just practice bowing just so we'll be ready in the future. Isn't this amazing? Now, let me tell you this. Just because you have a God-given dream, it doesn't mean you have to run your mouth about it. Oh, God has great plans for your life. And I know that to be true, but you don't have to broadcast it to everyone. How many of you know somebody whose mouth always gets them in trouble? Sometimes it's better just to keep your mouth shut. There are tests that we go through out there. And one of the tests is this, I should have kept my mouth shut test. Have you ever taken the I should have kept my mouth shut test and failed that one? Yeah. What happens when you fail that one? You have to take it over again. Joseph is running his mouth about this dream. Oh, by the way, he was so favored by his dad that his dad gave him a nice, bright, colorful coat. And every single time those brothers saw him wearing that coat, they died on the inside. But Joseph had a dream. Psalms 105, verse 19, the scripture says this. Until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. Come on, hum at me this morning. You see, you have a God-given dream, but there has to be a time in order for you to fulfill it. God has amazing plans for you, but he has to get you ready to walk in those plans. Are you catching this morning? Oh, God, please, Lord, help me to give this to them just like you gave it to me. I'm telling you, this word ministered to me this week, and I want it to minister to you. Some of you are carrying a dream for your future, but you're not walking in the fullness of it yet. You know what God's doing? He's getting you ready for it. One of the worst things that could happen to you is for you to be successful before you're ready. So Joseph goes through some trials. Now, here's what I've discovered about trials. God will use trials as a means of transportation. Watch this. Some of you are walking through a trial right now. You say, Mike, I don't understand it. I've got a dream. I've got a destiny, but I don't feel it. I'm not walking in it. I'm going through a problem. There's a challenge. There's a trial. Trials, God uses them as transportation to get us where we need to be. Are you catching this? You see, one day you'll realize that this wasn't a detour. It was the road to a stronger you. Struggling through a trial. No. It's transporting you into a place to get you ready to walk in that dream, that destiny. You're not on a detour. It's the road, the pathway for a stronger you. And what I want to give you for the time that we have remaining, I want to talk about the road to a stronger you. And I want to give you four snapshots of the life of Joseph. Joseph has this dream. And he ends up, number one, if you're taking notes, I want you to jot this down. Number one, he ends up in a pit. Now, he has this amazing dream, this calling, this destiny, but he finds himself in one of the lowest places possible. I wonder, let me ask you this. Has life ever been the pits? You ever found yourself in a low place and you have no idea how you got there and you know you have no idea how you're going to get out? Joseph, to have such favor and such promise and such opportunity, he finds himself in a deep, dark pit. The Bible says that Joseph's father said, hey, listen, your brothers are watching my sheep. They're watching the flock. Would you go down and check on your brothers for me and send me back a report? So here comes old Joe. He's got that coat on. All these dreams. Man, favor of God on his life. And the Bible says in Genesis 37, when Joseph's brothers saw him coming, they recognized him in the distance. And as he approached, they made plans to kill him. Here comes that dreamer, they said. Come on, let's kill him. Let's throw him into one of these cisterns, one of these wells. We can tell our father that a wild animal has eaten him. Then we'll see what becomes of his dreams. When I read that, you know what revelation I got? It's amazing how those who are closest can hurt us the deepest. Some of you know the pain of betrayal, not even from a friend, but from a family member. Some of you have had family members that have created such pain in your life. No one could love us like someone we've given our heart to, but no one can wound us like that person either. You ever had someone turn on you? Somebody turn on you, and it was the last person you would have ever believed would betray you. I mean, have you ever thought, listen, whoa, time out. I thought you had my back. I didn't realize you were stabbing it. Come on. There is no pain like the pain of betrayal. These are his own brothers. And they take advantage of Joseph. That made me think of classic country music. There's some amazing song titles out there. You want to hear theology? Read some country music song titles. I picked out a few. The country music will talk about pain and betrayal like nobody's business. Check this out. Here's some titles. I'm so miserable without you, it's like having you here. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, that'll preach. Or what about this? How can I miss you if you won't go away? Interesting theology. Oh, I like this one too. If the phone don't ring, you'll know it's me. Amazing what you find in a country music song. Or here's my favorite. Here's my favorite. If I had shot you when I wanted to, I'd be out by now. Oh, pain, heartache. Country music just plays the sad song. And you know what you get when you play country music backwards? You get your wife back, you get your car back, you get your dog back, you get your house back. Let me tell you what I've discovered about life. Life is what happens to you when you have something else planned. Oh, wait. My plan was here. My path was here. Whoa, here comes life. Whoa, where did that come from? How did I end up here? That wasn't in the deal. Every dream you have will be met by disappointment. Listen, don't be discouraged. If you have a dream, the enemy will oppose that dream. Mike, I'm not seeing my destiny. Well, listen, it's not a detour. It's your road to strength. God's getting you ready. They stripped the robe off of Joseph. And they used it against him. And he's there in the pit. And you know what he's hearing his brothers talk about? What they're going to do to him. Hey, let's kill him. Let's kill him. No. Wait, let's just don't do that. Let's sell him. You know what they do? They sell him into slavery for 20 pieces of silver. He's listening to them plan all of this. Here comes some Ishmaelite traders along the way. So they pull him out of the pit, not to help him, but to sell him. 20 pieces of silver. You know what that current dollar amount is today? $228 sold. You know, man will try to negotiate your value, but God has already determined your worth. Oh, $228. Yeah, let's capitalize this. Send him away. God has already determined your worth when he sent Jesus to die on the cross. Your value was set by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Joseph finds himself in a pit. And then the second thing, number two, check this out. So he's sold into slavery, and they take him down to Egypt. Remember, trials are your transportation. Send him to Egypt where he's serving in Potiphar's house. Potiphar, high-ranking Egyptian official. And in the house, his wife, we'll call her Mrs. Potty, okay? Mrs. Potty thought Joseph was a hottie. And so she seduced him, made a pass at him. Come hang out with me. They said Joseph was handsome. He was good looking. Now, the Bible doesn't describe Miss Potty, but every sermon I've ever heard about Miss Potty, she wasn't ugly. I mean, preachers don't make Miss Potty out to be like Jabba the Hutt, all right? They make her out to be like some supermodel. Now, if she were ugly, then it would explain why Joseph ran. I mean, come on. But no, there was an opportunity. There was temptation. Now, watch this. Here's what your dream goes through. You'll find yourself in a pit battling discouragement. But you know what else? You'll find yourself in Miss Potty's house battling temptation. Temptation. In his loneliness, Joseph was tempted. He could have thought, where is God? I'm so far from home. I'm hated by my brothers. I'm isolated from my father. I used to wear the robe, but now I'm a slave, and a slave is all I'll ever be. I'll never have what my father has or what I dreamed of having, what I deserve to have, my own life, my own wife, my family, property, and name. Why shouldn't I reach for what little happiness I can get? It's not like I have anything to lose. But in the spirit realm, he could have lost it all. In that moment, now let me tell you something about temptation. I know we've got a lot of holy people here. Super spiritually holy people. But temptation is what brings all of us together. It's the all-inclusive deal. I mean, it doesn't matter. You could be black, you could be white, you could be rich, you could be poor. You could be Catholic, you could be Baptist, you could be Cajun or straight up heathen. But let me tell you this, you will be tempted. Everyone is tempted from the first Adam to the last Adam. Now watch this, it's not a sin to be tempted. I mean, you can't always avoid temptation. Joseph was in Potiphar's house, and he was serving faithfully unto the Lord. He didn't ask for it. It came and knocked on his door. But here's what you need to know about temptation. You're still made of flesh. As spiritual as all of us want to be, We can't forget that we have this issue with our flesh. And one of the things that I've discovered about temptation is this. The temptation that you underestimate will eventually become the sin that overtakes you. Don't try to downplay and say, I got this, because listen, you don't. Oh, I'm going to be strong. I'm stronger than this. You know what? Joseph, sometimes it's not about being strong. It's about being smart. Joseph said, listen, I'm out. And you know what he did? He did the Forrest Gump. Come on, somebody say, run, Forrest, run. Run. She's trying to seduce him. He's running straight out of his robe. And it's the robe, again, that was used against Joseph. Please know this. Temptation will always make promises that it can't keep. Oh, hear my heart. This is a ministry moment. This is a ministry. Some of you are in a tempting situation right now. Temptation will lie to you. It'll promise you things that it can never deliver. Temptation promises you freedom, but it makes you a slave. Temptation will promise happiness, but it steals your joy. Temptation will promise you pleasure, but it only creates pain. The devil will never attack strength. He always attacks weakness. And so if you don't know what your weaknesses are, then you're in trouble. You got to have a friend in your life who can help you. You know what? Let me just encourage you. Surround yourself with people who aren't impressed with you. I mean, come on. I know you think you're a rock star and you're all of that. But you need people in your life who love you enough to tell you the truth. I mean, it's easy on a Sunday morning for me to stand on this platform. It's kind of an impressive position. But can I tell you, of thousands of people that'll come through these doors today, there is one person in my life who's not impressed. And it's that girl right there. And she loves me enough to tell me the truth, to help me. I've got blind spots. You've got blind spots, and you need somebody to say, whoa, time out. Caution, you're in trouble. Hey, a friend will not only protect you from your enemies, but sometimes they will protect you from yourself. Do you have a friend like that? Miss Potty runs after Joseph, and Joseph runs out the door. And so you know what she does? She screams, and she says, this little Hebrew slave tried to come at me. I can't believe. And so what they do, they arrested Joseph. He's doing all the right things. He made the right decision. And it only gets worse. He goes from the pit to Miss Potty, and he finds himself finally in prison. Joseph is in prison. But you know, there's a common thread in this story of Joseph's life. Even when he was in prison, the favor of God was on him. Favor of God was with him, not only when he was with his brothers, but when he was serving in Potiphar's house. Now he finds himself in prison, and the favor of the Lord is still there. I believe that you can have crazy things happening all around you, but the favor of God can still rest in you. When I read this episode, now he's in prison. He's in the lowest. He's there for no good reason whatsoever. He walks in, and he's telling everybody, hey, listen, guys, I didn't do it. And they're like, yeah. We're all innocent. No, for real, you guys got to listen to. You know, when you find yourself in pain, watch this. When you find yourself in pain, it's easy to fall into self-pity. And the only thing that you see is your world around you. Let me tell you, don't fall for the self-pity trap. You get hurt, it's easy for bitterness to blind you, and your world becomes focused only on you. When Joseph was in prison, the Bible says that he saw the faces of two of his friends in prison and said, "Hey, why are you so sad?" You know what compassion does? Compassion has the ability to notice someone else's pain. Come on now, catch this. It's easy to be in prison and think, man, all the things that they did to me, it's not fair that I'm here, and your world shrinks. Self-pity will cause your world to shrink. Joseph's in prison, and he sees a butler, Pharaoh's butler, and he sees Pharaoh's baker, and he notices that their face is sad. He says, "Listen, what's wrong, fellas?" You know, some of the best ways to help yourself out of that pit of self-pity is to get your eyes off yourself. Look at somebody else. "Hey, guys, what's going on?" He noticed their pain. They said, "Listen, we've had dreams and we don't understand." "Well, tell me your dreams," Joseph said. "Maybe I can help you." They tell him the dream. And the butler says, "Hey, I had this dream." And Joseph said, "Listen, hey, here's what your dream means. In 3 days, you're getting out of here. And when you get out, don't forget about me. Please don't forget about me. I'm right here." Some of you today, you're in a prison emotionally, and you feel forgotten. "God, do you see me? Please don't leave me here to die. I thought I had a dream. I thought my destiny was different than this. Don't forget about me." 3 days. Now check this out. Here's an interesting fact. That butler, that cupbearer, he spent 3 days in prison, and then he was restored. You know how long Joseph spent in prison? 13 years. 13 years. 3 days. 13 years for a crime he didn't commit. "God, what are you doing?" Hey, the cupbearer, he held Pharaoh's cup. But one day, Joseph would hold a nation. Let me ask you this. What do you want? You want a cup or you want a nation? You want a coffee mug? Or do you want the nations? It takes time to develop the Spirit of God in you if you want to impact nations. So then the butler gets restored, and guess who else has a dream? Everybody's dreaming these days. Pharaoh has a dream that he can't understand, and so he tells it to the butler, and the butler says, "Oh, wait. When I was in, remember that time when you were mad at me and you had me thrown in jail for 3 days? There was a Hebrew boy there that told me about my dream. Maybe, just maybe, he can help you with yours." And so check this out. Genesis 41. The Bible says, Pharaoh sent for Joseph at once, and he was quickly brought from the prison. After he shaved and changed his clothes, he went in and stood before Pharaoh. Here's what I've learned out of that verse. You dress for where you're going, not for where you've been. Why did he have to get cleaned up? Why did they shave him? Why did he change his clothes? Because you dress for where you're going and not for where you've been. Some of you feel like you're in a dark place. You're in a prison. You're forgotten. Hey, how do you dress your mind? You better dress for where you're going, not for where you've been. How do you carry your spirit? Hey, you better dress your spirit for where you're going and not for where you've been. 13 years he was left to rot, but then one day God gave Pharaoh a dream, and now the most powerful person on the planet was calling on the help of a Hebrew slave. Somebody needs to write that down. I'm dressing for where I'm going and not for where I've been. Boom, here comes Joseph now, and he's seated before Pharaoh. And the last point, he goes from the pit to Miss Potty to prison, and now we see him. He's at the palace. He's at the palace. After all these years, and after good days and bad days and ups and downs, he finds himself face to face with the most powerful man on the earth. But he never would have made it to this place had he not learned the power of forgiveness. Joseph was 17 years old when he had that dream and when he was betrayed by his brothers. Guess how old he is when he enters the palace? He's 39. Do the math. How long had it been? 22 years. Joseph had 22 years to think of everything that they had done to him. 22 years, day after day, week after week, month after month, he could have rehearsed all of the pain, the betrayal, the disappointment. How many of you, after 22 years, you could come up with a pretty good plan of revenge? Oh, just give me the... Hey, and there's a famine in the land. And so all of a sudden now Joseph's brothers are standing before him. Well, well, well. What do we have here? How many would love to be in that position right there? Come on, somebody say, sweet revenge. Oh, yeah. Oh, look who it is after all this time. But you know what Joseph's response was? Genesis 50, verse 19. But Joseph replied to them, hey, don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me, but God meant all of it for good. You meant it for evil, but God used it for good. That's just like God, who can take all of the bad things that have come against you, and in some sovereign way, he can redeem every single experience, and what was meant to destroy you actually develops you, and God can take your pain and use it for your good and for his glory. Can somebody help me preach this Sunday morning? Only God can do that. From the pit to Miss Potty to the prison and finally to the palace. Here he stands as the most important, only second in command to Pharaoh himself and his brothers. And what are they doing? They're bowing before him. The dream came true. And when he had a chance for revenge, he gave it up. He said, listen, that wasn't you that did that. It was the hand of God. He sent me ahead of you so that I could care for you and all of your families. Trials, God uses them as transportation to get you right where you're supposed to be. Are you receiving this morning? Oh, I pray that this ministers to you like it did me. Because the truth is this, you go through life, you're going to get hurt. I mean, let's just talk real, can we? You're going to experience pain. And some of that pain is beyond your control. You're going to find yourself as a victim of somebody else's bad choices. Or maybe it was some of your own doing. But you'll be in a pit. You'll be tempted. You'll be left and forgotten. You'll feel captive in prison. But if you'll keep your heart soft toward God, God can use everything that was meant to destroy you and actually develop you. Now let me close. I want to give you this story. I'm going to ask the band to come on up. And some of you have heard this before, and if this is a repeat, I apologize. But I couldn't think of a better picture about forgiveness than my own personal experience. Because bitterness will poison your life. Let me tell you something about bitterness. Bitterness is like drinking rat poison and expecting the rat to die. Come on. Come on, are you with me? When you hate someone, watch this. When you hate someone, it's playing right into the devil's hands. You think you're going to punish somebody by not forgiving them. And you know what? You're only punishing you. You're only hurting you. You hold on to all of that stuff. Man, listen, most of the people who hurt you, they don't even know that they've done it. Or they don't know to the degree that they've done it. And yet you're losing sleep over it every single night. My parents walked through a divorce some 18, 19, 20 years ago. And I've got permission from my dad to share this. This isn't what I was going to say. But my dad, he fought so much anger and bitterness. And I remember having a phone conversation with him. And every time I would talk to him on the phone, he's talking about mom. I'm like, Dad, you're talking more about mom now than you did when you were married to her. Dude, you're having breakfast with her. You're having lunch with her. She is owning you, man. You got to set yourself free. You got to learn to forgive. Alexa, she was 4 years old. This is my oldest. She's 14 now, but I remember when she was 4 years old, she was going to Parkview Preschool. And I loved taking her to preschool. I was the designated driver. Daddy was going to take her to preschool every morning. And as much as I could, I was going to pick her up every afternoon. Because we had, this was just father-daughter moments. I mean, I had a captive audience. This is my girl. And so I remember picking her up from preschool one afternoon. And I was in that carpool line. And I saw her waiting with all of her friends. She had this big old book sack. It was like twice her size. I mean, you could barely see her. Big old book sack, little tennis shoes, pigtails. And then on the top of her head, she had something that looked like elephant ears or something. Big old kind of Dumbo elephant-looking ears and something that she had made in an arts and crafts class or something. So I'm waiting to pull up to pick her up. And so when she gets in, she hops into the car, and she's just bouncing, just so excited. Daddy, Daddy, look at this. Do you like my ears? I'm like, baby, I love those ears. What are they? She said, Daddy, these are my listening ears. I'm like, that's great. Could you let your mom borrow them sometime? I didn't say that. I thought it, but I didn't say it. Oh, I love those listening ears. Where did you make them? Oh, Daddy, we made them in arts and crafts class today. It was so much fun. Well, baby, tell me about your day. What did you do today? What did you eat for lunch? So we're just rehearsing her day. Oh, this is what I had for lunch. This is the song that we sang in our music class. And then we went out to the playground, and her countenance began to change. I'm like, well, what happened at the playground today? Put her head down. She said, Daddy, a little girl came to me today on the playground, and she told me that she hated my guts, and she wanted to cut my head off. What? She told you what? There's a four-year-old. What four-year-old says that? She said, yeah, Daddy, she said she hated my guts and wanted to cut my head off. I was like, oh, dear. Well, baby, did you tell the teacher? She said, yes, sir. I said, well, did the teacher correct the little girl? Yes, sir. I said, well, then what did you do? She said, Daddy, I don't want to tell you. I want to tell Mama. I'm like, no. You can talk to me. It's all good. She took those Dumbo listening ears and folded them over her face. She was so ashamed. She said, Daddy, when we were on the playground, me and some of my friends, we picked up rocks and we started throwing rocks at her. I'm like, well, did you hit her? Bless God, she had it coming to her. I didn't say that. I wanted to, but I didn't. I'm like, oh no, baby. No. We don't throw rocks. Oh, no, we don't ever throw rocks. She said, I know, Dad, I know. I said, well, baby, listen, when we get home, we got to tell Mama. No, Daddy, you tell her. I can't tell her. We get home, we pull up in the driveway, we get out, we walk through the door, and there's Rachel to greet us. She says, hey, how was your day? I said, Mama, we got something to tell you. So we unpacked that experience, and Rachel was like, oh, my. I said, listen, girls, huddle up. I called a family huddle. How many know, Dad, sometimes you got to huddle your family? Hey, listen, this is what we're going to do. Alexa, two things. Number one, we're getting ready to pray right now, and we're going to ask Jesus to forgive us because it's never okay to throw rocks. And number two, tomorrow when you go back to school, you're going to find this little girl, and you're going to ask her to forgive you too, because even though she hurt you by what she said, you hurt her by what you did, and we're going to make things right. Now we're going to pray. Do you want to pray?
No, Daddy.
Okay, I'll pray. I did my best Billy Graham altar call ever. And listen, I'm praying. Rachel's crying. Alexa's crying, man. And I am giving this all. This is a come to Jesus moment for my four-year-old daughter. And then right in the middle of the prayer, God began to speak to me. I'm like, no, God, this isn't about me. This is about Alexa. Son, this is about you. And he showed me my life. And for years, I'd been throwing rocks, hating the people who hurt me. I was so angry for being taken advantage of, for being used and hurt. And I found that my pockets were full of rocks. And as an adult, life gets so heavy when you're constantly throwing rocks. And then God begins to say, Mike, you got a choice. What are you going to do? I said, Lord, I'm going to empty my pockets. I can't live like this. Life is heavy. Hating the people that hurt you, it poisons you. And Joseph stood there face to face with his brothers. And he had every right and he had every reason to throw rocks. But he said, no, 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 no. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God used it for good. And before he died on his deathbed, you read it in Genesis 50, verses 24 and 25. Before he died, he told his brothers, you better make me a promise. He said, I was brought to Egypt by God to save you and your families. But there's coming a day when God's calling our families out of Egypt. He said, when you leave, you make me this promise, you better take my bones with you. Because listen, the palace was not Joseph's destiny. It was the promised land. And 400 years later, God raised up a man named Moses, and Moses confronted Pharaoh and said, let my people go. And when they marched out of bondage, Moses took those bones with him. Joseph wasn't led to die in Egypt. His promise was ahead of him. Listen, your promise is in front of you today. Your promise is in front of you today. Would you stand with me? Let's all stand up. Let's all stand up. Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize for getting emotional. I'm not like this. But my heart is so desperate for you. I'm so desperate for you to leave here free. I don't want you to be bound up in bitterness, hatred, and self-pity, resentment, and unforgiveness. I think God's given us an opportunity as a church to empty our pockets. Whatever it is that's holding you back, whatever pain that's anchoring you to your past, let it go. Let it go and let God heal you.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.